Well, I want to share with you, go over to the book of Acts chapter 1. I want to share a word with you as we are approaching Pentecost Sunday next Sunday. And I want to get us prepared for that. This is the second big event in the church history. Jesus rising from the dead was the big one. And let me just tell you that, of course, that was Jesus coming back from the dead. That's the hallmark of the Christian faith. And then the next big event is Pentecost Sunday, which is next Sunday. It's 50 days from Good Friday. That's where Penta and all that comes in. So the 50th day is the second celebration in the Jewish calendar this time of year. And it's to celebrate the first buds of the harvest, the springtime. And it was new beginnings. And it was that day that God poured out his spirit on his people in the upper room, and the church was born. So that's what Pentecost Sunday is, and we're going to celebrate that. And it's when God poured out his spirit. What the church, I love this church. I thank God for our church. Amen. Don't you? I think we got a good thing going here, and there's a lot of good churches in the area, and God is, we're not the only one, but when you're a part of a healthy ministry or a good thing, we should celebrate it. But what we need more than anything, all of us, not only here at River of Life, but all the church in America especially, is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I mean a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where signs and wonders happen. The book of Acts happens. I mean, that kind of things. And we need that. We need that in our lives. We need that in the church. We need that more than anything. Some people want to take away the supernatural from the Bible. Some churches want to take away that supernatural element of the Bible. And when you do that, all you have is some good ethics. All you have is we're just good moral people. Well, you can be a monk and do that. What we need, what separates us from that is having the power of the Holy Spirit, which gives us the strength, the ability to articulate and preach the gospel and to go into all the world. It gives us the power to live the Christian life is the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, this is a big announcement that Jesus is making to his disciples after he rose again from the dead. In Acts chapter 1 is the preparation of Pentecost. So I want to talk to you about preparing for Pentecost. That's what today is. And then next Sunday, we're going to hit the ground running in Jesus' name. Amen. I know many of us have already experienced Pentecost. We're spirit-filled people. My challenge is to you, are you still being filled every day? The Bible says, you know, to be filled. Do not be drunk on wine, that will wreck your life, the New Living Translation says, right? But Paul said, but be filled, continually filled with the Holy Spirit, which leads to life. That word is the active verb tense, meaning we need to constantly be refilled. It's a living relationship we have with God, and the Holy Spirit wants to constantly refill our lives. I know I need to be refilled constantly, and I do that by getting under that waterfall. I do that by opening up my Bible, getting in the Word of God, participating in worship, not watching, but participating, worshiping at home as well, sharing my faith with other people, sitting with some other Christian believers and just hanging out with other believers. How many know iron sharpens iron? These are all ways to help keep that fire hot inside of us. Sometimes we run, and we go. No, you got to spend time with the presence of the Lord. You got to get underneath that water spout and let the Lord just fill us up, because we got cracks in our vessels. And we leak throughout the week. Amen. And so we need the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk about that here in Acts chapter 1. Jesus is preparing his disciples for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, they were already Christians, okay? And I'm going to really go a little bit deeper theologically next week. They were already saved, okay? You don't have to speak in tongues to go to heaven. I need to say that from the get-go. You are saved the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ. The moment you say, I believe in Jesus, and you do it from the heart, and you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're on your way to heaven, just like the thief on the cross. Amen? But there is more. There is a deeper experience that God wants for us. It's a second work of grace that God has. It's the being filled and stirring up that gift of the Holy Spirit. And I'll show that to you in the scripture next week. But that's what it is, and this gives you the power. You can be saved and still not be having the power. You can be saved and still struggling. And I know we all struggle in different areas, but I'm here to tell you that some of us don't have to struggle the way you are struggling. You can have victory. Listen, I've been walking in victory for 28 years. I'm not perfect, but man, I don't struggle with drugs and alcohol no more. I did. What happened? I got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to walk in Him, and He just gave me the power to kick a habit I could not kick on my own. There's power to do that. That's what we need, and it's something religion can't do us, but the power of the Holy Spirit can. And if we want to live this Christian life, we need this thing called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We need it. Tell the person next to you, you need it. You need it. And so I want to show you this in the Word of God. So chapter 1 of the book of Acts, it says in verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait." Everybody say wait.
Wait.
He says to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, "You have heard from Me." In other words, I've been telling you about this. In fact, John the Baptist has been telling you about this since day one. What is it? "For John the Baptist truly baptized you with water." How many has been baptized with water? If you haven't, you need to get baptized in water. That is something that, no, it don't save you, but man, if you're saved, you should get in the tank. You should get in the water. It is what Christians did soon as they got saved and they said yes to Jesus. The next step is water baptism. Jesus Himself got baptized. It's an outward expression of an inward commitment to the Lord. It's like the wedding band on your hand. You hear me say it all the time. It lets everybody know you're married. Amen. It lets everybody know that I am going public with my faith. And it does something to you spiritually when you make that bold step. So He's already talking to believers here about being baptized in water. He's not talking about being baptized in water. But listen to what He says. "You've heard about being baptized in water, but," everybody say, "but, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." What's He doing? He's building their anticipation and expectation. He says, "You think getting water baptized was something? Wait till you experience this." John the Baptist called it being baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire, because it's like a purifying work that the Holy Spirit does inside of a believer. I'm going to get to that this morning. Hallelujah. So He says that. And then they begin to say, "Lord," they never were on the same page with Jesus. How many know the disciples were never on the same page with Jesus? It's kind of comical relief a little bit when you read the scriptures. And so they looked at Him and they said, "Well, Lord, are You going to restore the kingdom at this time?" Jesus just said, "Go and wait. You're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit." Okay, are You going to restore the kingdom at this time? They're still needing help. He says to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority." Now, there is a teaching that we can talk about. I believe we are in those last days. Amen. I can go there, but I'm not going to go there today. He says, this is the point, verse 8. "But you shall receive power." You shall receive power when you join a church. You shall receive power when you get baptized. You shall receive power when you light candles. You shall receive power when you take communion. You shall receive power when you attend church for 3 Sundays in a row. You shall receive power when you read your scripture 2 days in a row. No, all of those are good. But He says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. If you have not experienced power since you've been a follower of Christ, you probably have not been baptized, fully immersed in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm building your anticipation for today. We're going to have prayer in a few minutes, and then again next week, and then at 2 services next Sunday. That's how bad I want you to get this. Listen, because that is what took somebody like me from the streets of E-Course with all kinds of habits, hang-ups, and hurts. You talk about, I could have ran a Celebrate Recovery day one. Had them all. Had all 3 of them. Had everything. And I went from that to being seriously set free. I mean, a change in here and in here. It's like powerful change. And then it gradually began to grow even stronger. Tempted? Absolutely. Wanting to even go back? Absolutely. Started to struggle? Absolutely. The new car smell wore off? Absolutely. But I'm telling you, when I was 26, just 6 months later after I got saved, I got another boost from heaven. It was this powerful experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it just set me on fire. Now, every time I get down, every time I get, you know, tired on the inside or struggling with anything or my thoughts, I can just pray in that sweet Holy Spirit, and And I got that fountain of living water that John 7:37 says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. For I shall give him a fountain of living water that will flow from within his belly, and out of him will flow rivers of living water. The next verse, this Jesus spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus had not been glorified. I'm telling you, he was dropping hints his whole ministry, saying, if this feels good to hear a good teaching, if you think it feels good to lift your hands and feel the presence of God, you ain't experienced nothing yet until you get baptized in the power of the Holy Ghost. I think this is why the devil has fought this so much. And cause confusion and cause people to just say, I don't know about all that stuff. And listen, and it caused people to kind of draw back because it is where the power is in this experience. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses in all of Jerusalem. And this is how you're going to go. This is what Jesus is saying. Thank you, Lord. Preparing for the Holy Spirit. This is where the church, I think, is starting to come back. You know, a little bit more. I've been seeing some, especially the younger, the Gen Zers are really, everything you read about the Gen Zs, man. So, you know, what happened was my generation and up were power people, okay? We were power people. We believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. We would go for prayer before we reached for Tylenol when we got a headache. We were that kind of people. It was nothing to have all-night prayer meetings, seriously. It was nothing to just, oh, you're sick? Oh, let me pray for you right now in Jesus. It was second nature to pray. It was nothing to hear people just praying in tongues at service. It was people falling in the presence of the Lord. And, I grew up, seeing that. Didn't understand it all, but I seen it. But here's what happened. Let me just be honest with you. There's also a lot of crazy stuff that come in on that, too. There was also some great leaders that began to fall into sin. And even though they were powerful in the pulpit, they were living like the devil at home. And it left a bad taste in the mouth of the millennials. And when the millennials came, they said, whatever that is, I don't want it. And so they put the baby and the bathwater, and they threw it all out. And now we've got a rise of motivational speakers and the pulpits filled with entertainment and no power in the church today. Paul said in your Bible, in the last days, says the Lord, there will be people that will have a form of godliness, but no power. What? A form of godliness. It looks like God. It smells like God. It sounds like God. It looks like God, but there's no power. I'm still struggling. I got no victory. I got no joy. I got no peace. I gotta fake it. We're living in those days. And I don't blame the millennials because I saw a lot of crazy stuff growing up. Even though I'm not a millennial, but when I got 14, I was out. I saw people prophesying Holy Ghost stuff and caught them at a store getting drunk. Church kids hang out with each other. And I'd go hang out with some of these people, and I'd Sunday school teachers, and I'd be like, whoa, they're cussing their husbands out and smoking weed in the park in the driveway. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? And I just began to get turned off to this dual hypocrisy that was happening. But I saw things also in the church, and there were good, godly people in the church too. But then somehow the devil just gets your eyes on that one sister or brother that's all messed up. That's what he did to Adam and Eve. He said, didn't God say you can't eat of this tree? Eve should have said, shut up, fool. I can eat from every tree in this garden. But the enemy tries to get you on that one thing, that one hypocrite, or that one prayer that he didn't answer, or that one thing that's going on in your life. It's a trick of the enemy, and it gets a lot of us tripped up. It got me tripped up. And yeah, that happened. But I thank God what he is doing now. We got a young generation, the Gen Zers, man. Read it. Look them up. These are where your Asbury revivals are happening. Although I saw they were at some beach somewhere, and there was 2,000 young people getting baptized in the ocean. 2,000. It looked like, I don't know what, it was just like a helicopter's flying over and watching these people, and these just young kids just getting baptized, excited about Jesus, and people getting on fire for God. What's happening? There's an awakening that is starting to come. There's another wave that is starting to come. If we will not mess this up, church, if we will just say, let's welcome what God wants to do into this place. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. We're going to see a great revival, which could be the end time revival, because there's a lot of other crazy stuff that's happening that's lining up what the scripture talked about right before Jesus does return. And I believe we're living in those days. So there's hope. There's hope for what the church is doing. But here's my thing. So the river of God has been talked about. It's been sung about. The name of our church is River of Life, because Dad named it that from the Brownsville Revival, when that place was experiencing what was called. The only way they described the feeling there was they said it's like a river. And it's just the power and the presence of the Lord. Nothing to be afraid about. There were some people faking stuff and doing. Name a field or an area of life that there's not a faker in it. Okay? Every arena, there's somebody who's not living right. So it's in the church world too, but I'm here to tell you, there is a real experience of the Holy Spirit too. If this wasn't real, I'd be teaching something out of Psalms or something today. If I didn't believe this and didn't experience it myself, but I'm telling you, there is something that's real. There is something that is not of this world that God wants to fill us in, and you can walk in victory, and you can have power. And when you don't have the power, you can stir it up. Like you have the ability to just plug it in. Hallelujah. That's what you have. That's what separates the other religions from a powerful experience with the Holy Spirit. But we got to get into the Word of God and see what the Bible says. So this is what I prepared, some scriptures to look at. I was thinking years ago, I had a Mustang. My mom and dad gave me a Mustang for my graduation, high school graduation. Young people, I'm sorry, parents. Okay, I know. It's a long story how that happened, but I had a sweet little Mustang. LaDon, you remember my Mustang? Amen. Sweet. Well, I'd get on it, man. And then, it started to lose its power, and I didn't have that pickup, and a Mustang's got to be able to go. And I remember I started losing it, so I took it into the shop, and they looked at it, and I had a busted piston ring. My piston was broke in the car, losing compression. So I remember I grew up with these two brothers, Keith and Kevin Four. Keith, they were into mechanics, their dad and uncles. And Keith Four was the mechanic. And so he worked at a mechanic shop. And every day he got home from work, he'd come to my house. And we would meet at my house and we rebuilt that engine. We took that engine all the way down to the block. And what we used, what was called a Chilton's manual. This is before YouTube. We had to go old school. It was a book about this thick. I don't even know if they're still around, but it's a chill. And it has inside of this book pictures and diagrams of everything in my car. And we took that thing down all the way to the block. I mean, he was getting to every day. I mean, it took all summer. He was honing out the cylinders. We had that sandpaper. We were sanding real fine on the crankshaft. We were doing all of that brand new pistons putting in there. Ho, 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 ho. Man, it was sweet. We had fun all summer. We were working hard, and we got around to start that baby up late summer. It started up. Boom, boom, boom. But it didn't have, still, there was something missing. So we went back to the Chilton's manual, and lo and behold, we messed up the vacuum lines. Vacuum lines were from the pit of hell. There's a just like your sensor in your car. There's dozens of them, and we had to label them, and we had them all, they were all messed up. So we just had to go back to that manual. I got a point here. We had to go back to the manual. Even though we did all the heavy work, we took all the time all summer. We had the timing gun. We had all the tools. We had everything right. We were doing it. But we still didn't have exactly everything lined up according to the manual, so we still had no power. When we moved those vacuum lines back over, baby, that motor began to just hum. Brand new, man. I come out of my driveway, boy, I was, let's go. And that thing ran, and it was a beautiful thing. Brand new motor in that car. That is the same way with this thing about the Holy Spirit. As beautiful as the river always flows within the banks of Scripture. We got to get back to the manual, to the Word of God, and find out what is the ingredients, or how do we prepare for this power of this Holy Spirit? Because I don't want something crazy. I don't want something fake. I don't want something phony, and God doesn't want either. He wants our engines to run perfectly. He wants that to run with power. Maybe when you're able to put on the gas, you can go. When you need some power, you can hit that gas and you're gone with no hesitation. But we got to get back to the manual. You got to get back to the Word of God. That's what I wanted to preach today and set it up. And this is the truth of God's Word. And the very first thing that you and I have got to add and look to prepare our hearts for this powerful experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is repentance. Let me talk to you about repentance. It was the first thing that John the Baptist preached. I think I have the slides in Luke chapter 3. Put it on the screen. This is the first time baptism in the Holy Spirit, the first time the power was mentioned to the people of God. They didn't know anything about any of that. They didn't know anything. They just came out to get water baptized by John. You read it in your Bible. Listen to what John said. Then he said, this is John, said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized, "Brood of vipers." Okay, John has some problems. We're going to put John on our greeting team. Psych. You don't put him on our greeting team. He wore camel hair and he ate wild locusts and honey. Okay, let me just say this. God will always put what we need in a package we don't like. That's just the way. I can't tell you why. But that is a bombshell. We want God to show up and nice and pretty and say, "Hi, this is God, and he's going to just come in and give you power, and you're just going to live in power, Holy Ghost, amen, and everything's going to be fine, and everything's going to make sense, and everything's going to line up." That is not how God's going to do, baby. God's going to come in your life like Jesus came into the temple. He's going to begin to flip tables over. He's going to begin to flip ideologies over that we've adapted from this world that has not been from the Word of God, and that's why we're so messed up, confused, fearful, anxiety, all these problems, because it's rooted in a belief system that we were never given by God. So he's got to mess some things up before he brings some order into place. But what he always does it in a way that will listen. And this is just the way God does it. It separates people who are serious from those that are just playing games. And he does it by that's why he taught in parables. Why didn't he just say, "Turn from your sin, believe in me with all of your heart, and you'll go to heaven"? He kind of did, but he likened it unto parables. Yeah. Why? So the people would be like, "I don't even know what this guy's talking about." You know, and they didn't have enough in them, enough desire to really want the truth. Because God don't want anybody that's going to be on his team that don't want to be on his team. Yeah. Let me give you the big thing about heaven and hell. Why does God put people in hell? He don't put nobody in hell. God, but here's the thing, God won't force anybody to be in heaven with him. Hell is designed for a place for people to go who have demonstrated their entire life what they want, and that is a place separate from God. So when you die, you're going to get what exactly you've been living your life for your whole life. No God, no Bible, no preaching, no worship, no holiness, no nothing. You're going to get what you've been demonstrating you're wanting. It's like the kid being expelled from school. Mom and dad showed up and said, "Why'd you kick my son out of school?" And the principal said, "I didn't kick him out. He's been skipping school all year. He's only been here twice, and it's June." "No, not my kid. Please don't be one of them parents." And the principal said, "Ma'am, we just gave your son what he's been demonstrating all year that he wants, and that is he don't want to be here." That's what heaven and hell is, saints. God ain't begging nobody to spend an eternity with him. So he starts off by saying, "I want to see how bad you want it. I want to separate those that are serious from those that are playing games." So he speaks in parables. Here he brought John eating wild honey and wearing camel hair. Some people was like, "I ain't down with nothing this dude's saying." And they walked away, here it is, from the greatest opportunity they could have ever had in their life. Sometimes God will offend your mind just to see what's in your heart. I don't got time. It's getting late. I can't be pretty about it. I'm just getting right in there. It's just the way it is. He will offend my mind to see what's in my heart. He'll let me see it. And it'll come to the surface. And then I got a decision to make. Okay, God, that hurt a little bit. But I got to make a decision. Am I going to believe that? Or am I going to go my own way? And those that came to John and said, "You know what, I'm not down with the camel hair. I ain't eating no wild locusts and honey. I like my Five Guys, thank you, with Cajun fries." You know, but I'm going to hear what this guy has to say. And they leaned in, and here's what he said: repent. The message of repentance. The message of repentance is the gateway to the things of God. You want to receive power from God, you got to get this repentance. Yes, yes, yes. We don't preach repentance in America. It's, you know, just make you feel good. But I'm telling you something, repentance is the mold that is growing behind the drywall in the basement. You can paint the whole house and everything look really good, but you don't, how many know that mold will grow? And then everybody gets sick, and you're like, oh my gosh, what is happening? You're going to get mad at the city, going to get mad at the government, get mad at your husband, get mad at the dog, and all along, it's mold that's growing down. Repentance comes, and repentance tears the whole thing out of your basement and begins to get that mold until he gets that mold all the way out. That's what repentance is. He takes out the old so the new can be built. Every time somebody wanted to receive the Holy Spirit, look at Acts chapter 2, they said, what shall we do to receive this power? Peter stood up and says, what? Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you shall receive the forgiveness of sins. Acts 3:19, they said it again. What must we do to receive this power, Pastor Eddie? How can I get that power in my life? What did he say? Repent and be converted. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And watch this. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. The reason why many don't experience, including me, I haven't experienced the presence of the Lord, is because the repentance wasn't there. And let me just say this to you Christians, because there were Christians, there were believers in John's day who said, we don't need repentance, Pastor Eddie. We don't need repentance, John. And that's why John said, don't tell me that you are sons of Abraham. That's what that whole comment was about, the sons of Abraham. Because they were looking at John saying, I don't need to repent. I'm a Jew. I was born a Jew. And these are for the old saints that's been coming to church for a while, and you've done, you know, maybe repented 20 years ago and got right, but you've been living. If you want to experience a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this is for you too, brothers and sisters. Repent. Every one of us. And John said, don't tell me that you are a son of Abraham. Don't use that. You're already Pentecostal. Don't use that you've been coming to church as an excuse. I want to ask you, how is your heart right now? Have you allowed some things to get back in there? Have you allowed some sins to get back in there and some mold starting to grow back? Some of the old ways. We got to repent if you want a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying here. The word repentance means, I'm going to put it on the screen. It's a Greek word, metaneo, and it means this. I love it. This is it. To think differently that results in a changed behavior. That's what repentance means right there. To think differently. I used to say a long time ago that the gospel requires repentance. And that's good. There's some truth to that. I understand. But I think a better way of saying that, instead of the gospel requires repentance, I say the gospel produces repentance. How? When you believe the gospel. That's why Jesus said, whosoever believe. If you really believe, if I really believe that Jesus is the Messiah, I will believe the gospel, read the gospel, and it tells me to turn from sin. It produces repentance in my life. You see how that works? And repentance is the key to everything. Repentance produces obedience. But you got to think differently. Church, you got to think differently about our sin. We got to think differently about repentance. Means I think differently about this. I think differently about the mindsets that I've adopted from the world. I talk to people and I covered this on Wednesday night. You know, we need to be out sharing our faith. And today you're going to come across people in the culture that live in all kinds of different lifestyles. They got all kinds of different views of life. And we got to sit down next to them and be able to have a conversation. With people in the LGBTQ community. We got to sit down and talk to them. And honey, this is what I always say to them. I say, honey, that's fine. You want to, you know, be a part and say that you are this and that. Let me just ask you a question. Are you open to what God says about your sexuality? Are you open to what God says about it? And if they're open, then we can sit down and have a conversation. And then we begin to invite how God says how they are. They are beautifully made in his image. and that they are a son or a daughter of God. And then that whole thing begins to get in there, and the word of God gets in there. Why? They think differently about things that God has said from day one. So you got to reverse that, and it only happens when they believe in Jesus. But you and I, we got to start thinking differently about sin. Start thinking differently about those attitudes and those things that we have in our life. I love that. When we repent, it automatically causes us to seek him. It will automatically happen, because we're not going to seek God when our hearts are filled with selfishness. It won't happen. It won't. You want to have a true hunger for God, a true love for God, then we've got to repent of that sin. This is how you prepare for the power of the presence of the Lord. What did Jesus say in Revelations to the lukewarm church? He says, you have told me that you've become rich and you are in need of nothing. But I tell you that you are poor, blind, miserable, and naked and don't even know it. That's what Jesus says to a church. That you have told me you've become rich and you're in need of nothing. But I tell you, you are poor, blind, miserable, and naked and you don't even know it. So what does he say? Repent, therefore. Repentance is something that's a lost part of the gospel message in the American church today. And I'm telling you, it's the most important part of the gospel, is to repent of our sin. It's not just crying. You can come to this altar and cry. You can know every song. You can jump in this place. You can sign up and join in a ministry. But until you repent, and I repent, have a different mindset toward the sin in our life, there's going to be no change in our behavior. You see how important it is? You see how important it is? That's why, you know, I could go deeper with this, but I think we get the point. It is the key to everything. Then you and I will begin to have a heart to want to seek him, to want to seek what God has for it. It automatically happens. Lord, I want more of you. And so the next thing you do for your repentance, and then the next thing is to ask and to seek and to knock, is to seek him. When we repent, we will soon begin to seek after him. And I'm going to go all the way back to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to skip that Luke 11, guys. So Acts chapter 1, the original scripture that we read in Acts chapter 1 where he said, go and wait. I had to say all of that about repentance to set this up, because I want you to see they weren't in the upper room just staring at a clock. They weren't just staring at a clock waiting for God to just do something. They were seeking him. They were getting sin out of their life. They were quoting scriptures. They were people quoting Joel, that the Old Testament, that the prophet was going to pour out his spirit. They was over here quoting Ezekiel, how God was going to give us a new heart. They were seeking him. And if you keep reading in chapter 1, you'll find that there was all kinds of things that happened in the waiting. Waiting on God isn't just doing this. Well, God, when are you going to do that? No, it's what we do in the waiting. In the waiting is when God begins to shift things in our lives and in our hearts. It's in the waiting. Waiting prepares us for Pentecost. And we have a generation, and it's just the day we're living in, where we don't like to wait for nothing. Stand in front of the microwave, hurry up, right? I mean, because our videos that we watch is down. I mean, everything's got to be down to 10 seconds. Because our intent, we're just conditioned to not seek, and it's hurting us in the things, because God is not into microwave and he's into marinating. Everything God does is about waiting. Everybody in the scriptures waiting, and we hate to wait. I hate to wait. But as you read chapter 1 of Acts, I want you to see how important waiting is. They waited for 10 days in that upper room. They would leave and they would pray, but there were some things happening. Just to show you a couple, in verse 15, it says that Peter stood up in the midst. So while they were waiting in the upper room, I want you to see this. Peter stands up in out of the rest of the group. He's the one that finally stands up. This is the first time Peter stands up in a leadership position. Why? Because we mature and step into our calling during the waiting. That's right. Praise God. Come on. It was when he was already called to do it, but he wasn't going to do it until here. It was during the waiting that he began to stand up and grow. He's maturing in the things of God. A lot of people just don't have any depth in them. You want to receive the power? I'm going to try to help you as a pastor. I want you to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. So you can say, man, what he was saying is true. And we come down and we go, God, just fill me with the Holy Ghost like that. And there, we have no depth in us. Well, you got to have depth in this. And so waiting is one of the ways God uses to create depth within our hearts. We're just like this. If you don't do what I want you to do in 10 seconds, it's this. If my job doesn't give me a promotion in 30 days, I'm out. Our commitment levels are so short and so little. And with God, everything God has for us, they are in seasons. And so you got to learn. You and I have got to learn to wait. I know it's not exciting, right? No one likes to do it. But I'm telling you, this is a key component in receiving the things of God. Because it's not about God. God is lining things up. Do you know, they didn't know, but it was going to be on the day of Pentecost. God wanted all the people in the surrounding area to be in one location when he poured out his spirit. That was the Feast of Pentecost. They had no idea. See, what you're waiting on, God is moving things right now to line things up for what you're waiting on. It just hasn't happened yet. If they would have stepped out of that upper room and said, okay, let's go hit the streets, they would have got about 200 people. But since they waited, when the day of Pentecost finally came, there were thousands into the streets of Jerusalem. And God said, now is the time. And the Holy Ghost came in that front room, into that living room, and gave them that power. They came out, and revival happened, and it spread all through the Middle East. Why? Because it was God's timing. You see that? So there's value in waiting. And another thing you'll see is in verse 20, they also did this in the waiting. They said, let's select another to take Judas's place. Why? Because God replaces some things during the waiting. He replaces the Judas spirit out of us. He replaced, what is that? Doubt and unbelief. Those attitudes, it's happening during the waiting. During the waiting, God selected anew and brought in something new. He replaced the doubt and the unbelief. He replaced those desires. It's in the waiting that God will create desires for you and me for the right thing. It's in the waiting. Because I got saved and all of my desires did not go away. I'll just be real with you. They didn't. Some of them did, but not all of them. But as I begin to wait on the Lord, as I begin to seek him, repented from my sin, and I begin to seek him over time, those desires begin to change from the inside out. And then what? And then I was ready for the Holy Spirit. And God began to pour out his spirit into my life. And the rest is history. Thank you, Jesus. I prayed to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I prayed, I sought the Lord, and nothing happened. I'd get up and get prayer, everybody else feeling God, and I felt joy. I was saved, I was on my way to heaven, but I just didn't have that power. And so I got alone with God, and I began to read the scriptures for myself. I began to read the Bible for myself. All of my uncles, I saw great, you know, people, men of God, people I respected, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, man. And I began to seek it for myself, and I was at a hotel room one night. I was driving a truck, and I was by myself, and I got in my hotel room, and I got my Bible out, which was a miracle, because I'd always, my routine was I would get drunk and pass out in my bedroom, in my hotel room back in those days. But I got saved, and God changed me. And when I went home after I got saved the first time, on my road trip, 1997, when I went home, I went down into my basement, man, and I got rid of all the drugs. I poured it down the commode, the toilet, and I flushed it all. I ripped the posters of naked ladies that I stole off the party stores. You've heard me say it. I mean, what was I doing? I was repenting. I was getting serious about God. I even got the little stash I had up in the rafters in my little cigar box in case this Jesus thing didn't work. No, I said, God, you're going to get it all. Menoneo. I was getting ready. A change of way I was thinking that caused the change in my behavior. And God saw me do that. I went through my music. Oh, here he comes. Here he comes. Here he comes. Listen, I ain't got time. I'm not the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Spirit in you. Every believer needs to be aware of what will awaken darkness in you. I just saved you a 3-hour teaching on what music you should listen to. You need to be more aware of what will awaken darkness in your life, what you watch and what you listen to. It's not religious. It's not legalistic stuff. It's walking in victory. I begin to do that. And this all happened during the waiting. I mean, I'm just being real with you today because I'm tired of people wanting to get filled and they don't get filled. And then they quit getting interested and all that. No, God has it for you. Our problem is we need to go back to the Chilton's manual. Our problem is we got to go back to the Word of God and say, let's line up the way Scripture. Why? Because glory follows order. When Solomon constructed the temple exactly the way God said to do it, then his presence filled that room and the priests couldn't even minister. You see that? When we get the sin out of our life and we begin to seek him and we begin to wait on him, he begins to change desires in our lives and in our hearts. And then the Spirit of God came. And I prayed that night in my hotel room and nothing happened. He did give me a dream, powerful dream, about something totally different. But it was later on that next week that I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I had the most powerful experience I've ever had in my life. It was just coming over. I was like, whoa, I felt like I was on some good stuff. I'll just be real with you. But it was no hangover and there was no pain. It was all clean. And I was like, whoa, that's why they thought they were drunk when they got filled with the Holy Ghost. It was like a high. That's why I say there's no high like the Most High. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing like you feel. You talk about joy. You talk about having peace, and you can have your whole life falling apart, but you're walking through it like, what's the problem? I'm going to make it. I'm going to be fine. You've learned how to stir up that gift that is within you, and the presence of the Lord is in your life. This is what helps us go and change the world, is this kind of stuff right here. You can have your religious little scripture or whatever, but I want the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to walk in victory in my life. I want to pray to God and know that he hears me and believe that he hears me. And it's not always like that. But even in the low seasons, I got a reservoir in here that I can stir up, and it's called the Holy Spirit. Are you prepared for Pentecost? Are you prepared? Do you want to be filled? Do you want to go deeper? Do you want a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit in your life? I don't know, Pastor Eddie. I don't know what it's going to do. I don't know, I'm afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. I know you might have saw some crazy stuff or whatever. Listen, but man, God is real. He's gentle. He just wants to give you power to overcome fear. He wants to give you a beautiful prayer language that you can pray in, a language that goes past your mind. You know, God is so awesome that he's even designed a language for us to worship him. I'm going to break it down for you next week. But, because without the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues, this is the best we got. You're awesome. Yeah, so is Jameer Gibbs. Aiden Hutchinson's awesome. Wait till this fall. He's awesome. Michael Jordan, he was awesome. So, God, you're awesome. You can be fine with awesome. But I like to praise him in a language that goes way past. Come on, it goes way past my stinking thinking. That goes on a totally new level. Well, Pastor, I don't understand. I don't. You don't believe. You got to believe. That's why Jesus said, I will do something in the last days that'll be so great, but the people won't believe. Why? He's putting it out there to see if I got any takers. I don't like the John the Baptist. I don't like the way, I don't like that. He always does things that make you hesitate. Moses was like, why is that bush on fire? If he wanted me to deliver the Jews, why didn't he just tell me? Why has he got to light a bush on? Was he an arson? Joshua, march around the city and don't say a word. He's a military man. I'm ready to blow stuff up, God. Moses said, how am I going to deliver the children of Israel, God? Pharaoh's, man, he's hardcore. God says, what's in your hand? Moses says, a stick. God says, let's go. He says, come on, let's go. Moses says, with the stick, he said, when you give me what you have, if you give me the little bit of what you have, if you give me the little bit of faith, if you give me just a little bit of trust, I don't understand it, but I'm going to get in a little bit. I'm just going to trust you a little bit. Everything in me is telling me no, but I'm going to say, well, believe you anyway. He says that with a little bit, it's much when I get out. Stretch out your hand, Moses, and I'll split the Red Sea, baby, with that little stick that you have. Come on, will you stand to your feet today? Do I got some people in here today that's willing to say, I'm going to believe God for more in my life? I don't care if you've been serving God for 30 years. Do you want more of what God has for you? That's the question. Then you need to get prepared. Prepare yourself today. We're going to pray right now, but prepare yourself this week. And I want to see great things happen. You can see signs and wonders. We can see signs and wonders happening. See people's lives change. That's what I'm into, man. I'm into that. You can have the stained glass windows, bro. They're pretty. I love them. Makes me a little sleepy. But I'm into people's lives being changed. And it comes by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we just love you and we thank you for your word today. God, you said a lot of things, Lord, today through your word. And Father, I pray that they will be seeds and they will land on the hearts that are receptive. Father, I don't want anybody to fall away. I don't want anybody to harden their heart. I don't want anybody to be turned off by the things they don't understand or the things that offends them. God, we all get offended at the truth sometimes. But we're going to make that decision and choose to follow you anyway. Just a little bit of trust, God, because it goes a long way with you. Prepare our hearts, Lord, this week and this time of the year, God, as you are pouring out your Spirit on all flesh, on your sons and daughters, your men and women. It's for all people, your children, your adults, to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you do. Will you just lift your hands if that's you, if you're open to the things of God and you want more of God? Can we just seek him right now in Jesus' name? Lord, I just want more, want more, want more of you, Jesus. Want more of you in my life. Want more of you in my life. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your presence, oh God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask our altar workers to come and fill this place, this altar up here today. And hey, I know this is a message to prepare for next week, but I'm open to get prayer right now. You might be in this place and you need prayer today. You need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. You want to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You can get prayer right now. I'm going to dismiss the church, but we're going to keep praying up here in these altars. And if you're here today and this message has got you, something that God said, and you're ready to act, you need to respond to it, because when you walk out of here, you know, life happens and you forget this moment. Is there some repentance that needs to happen? Is there some repentance? Come on, ain't nobody gonna make fun of you here. Ain't nobody pointing fingers. This is what we do here. Is we help each other get right with God. You need to come up and get right with God. Ask someone to pray with you here today. If you're waiting and you're struggling in the waiting, you're having a hard time waiting, you're just wanting God to move. Come on. Come on, get some prayer today. Amen. Come on, get some prayer. And then as they're coming, I'm going to pray and dismiss the rest of you, that you would go and get your children from River Kids. Felicia tells me, I got to hurry up, Dad. Past noon, these kids start committing crimes. I'm trying to be aware of that, guys, but we are a Spirit-moving church, and I want people to receive of God, but I want us to be safe. My grandkids are up there. Amen. So, Lord, to come if you need prayer. Come if you need prayer. Father, I thank you for your word today. I pray a blessing upon your church, and I pray, God, that you would just cause your face to shine upon us as we go out of this place, Lord, rejoicing that we know you. Prepare our hearts, Lord, for next Sunday. I pray this in Jesus'
name. Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.